Blog Talk Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the Mail on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches. The Mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
You got to give the people what they want, man. And what they want is After Further Review all the time. What's going on, party people, man? You got the Mayor in the building. Hard Body Karate live and direct, hype and charge. You are listening to After Further Review, coming to you live and direct from GQ Palace Radio. Got the big homie Rich behind the board. Miss Lavina holding down the situation. What's going on, party people? The Mayor's ready to get it popping. We got to make it live, man. This show is being sponsored by the Drama Starter DJs, man, and DJ Rock-A-Lot. So, you know what I mean, for your party needs and all your DJ stuff, check them out, man. They do their thing, man. Drama Starter DJs, man, DJRock-A-Lot.com and all that. So let's get it popping, man. Where do we start? Basically, you know what? I'm going to keep it real with y'all, man. We all sports fans and all of that, man. You know what I mean? And we come here Tuesday nights and we get it in and we talk sports. Like, we talk sports. You know what I'm saying? This time of the year right now, you know, football's over. The Super Bowl's over. Football season's done. You know what I mean? You got the NCAA popping off, basketball, whatever. Spring training is popping off. You know what I mean? The NBA is kind of like in that stretch right there where they playing games and getting ready for the playoffs or whatever. It's really kind of like a dry period right now. There ain't really nothing really going on that's getting you hyped and charged. You know what I mean? Won't be a good fight until April 12th. So, you know what I mean? Springtime is kind of, you know, it's kind of whack, you know, to tell the truth, man. But as sports fans, we got to make the best of it. My Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we changed our uniforms. And, yo, and let me say something, you know, I've been rocking with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from day one. And day one was, like, back in 1976 or whatever. These uniforms right now, I'm not really feeling them. They might have to grow on me, you know what I'm saying? And I just think that they just kind of, like, you know, went too far left with it. But it is what it is, man. That's my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to get into a lot of things tonight. Tonight's topic, man, what I want to talk about, are you a supporter of a team or are you a fan? And is there a difference? I think we may have broached on the subject last year sometime, but I think that the dynamic has changed, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, you could root for as many teams as you want. That makes no sense. That's nonsense. You know, I was having a discussion with somebody earlier today, man, about that topic. And it's all right to be a supporter of a team, but you get it twisted. Like, this past season, you know, if your team is out of playoff contention or you're not going to the playoffs or whatever, you're picking a team to win. You're not riding that team now. You're not a fan of that team or whatever. You're just picking that team to win. For example, my Buccaneers wasn't in the playoffs. I picked the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. Am I a Seahawks fan? By no stretch of the imagination. But there was what was left. So I picked them to win the Super Bowl or whatever, whatever. And there you go. So we're just trying to figure out, are you a supporter of a team or are you a fan and is there a difference? And fan being short for fanatic. So, you know, there's a limit to your fanaticism. Or are you just a supporter of the team, and if they're winning, then you like them, and if they're losing, you don't even think about them? Let me know what's on your mind, man. Rock out with me tonight, man. You know how we doing on Tuesday. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics, man. Press 1 to get on the conversation. You got the mayor in the building lighting it up on a Tuesday, how I do it. Once again, shout out to everybody, man. GQ Palace, Radio Land and all that, the Diva Squad, you know what I mean, Belvin family and all that. Big Rich, Miss Lavita, my man, Scribio, you know what I mean, Chicky Chick and all that, Miss Deanne Lane, the whole situation, you know what I mean? You got the mayor rocking out, man, Tuesday night. I'm doing my thing. So holler at your boy. We're being sponsored by the Drama Starter DJs, man. So we're in the building, man. I'm going to talk about my Syracuse Orange, man. You know what I'm saying? Last week it was all good. We was 25-0. You know, now we're 26-3. We lost 3 of our last 4 games. I always said we need some losses, man, to get it out of our system. It's tournament time. Let's get ready to start. I don't see us being a number one seed. It's okay. It's all right. I don't see us being a number one seed. We don't have to deal with that pressure. And, you know, even though we had Jeremy Grant was out, you know what I'm saying, for the Virginia game, Virginia is a good team, so I'm not taking nothing away from them. You know what I mean? They won the regular season, the ACC. So, you know what I mean, but they're a good team, and they're coming on, and they're getting hot at the right time, and we're getting cold at the wrong time. So we got to step our game up, you know, and from a personal Syracuse standpoint, our dude Keita is not giving us no help under the boards. He's like, you know, he's just like a liability out there, and I think that if he just stepped his game up one little notch, we might be okay. You know what I mean? But the injury to Jeremy Grant, you know, is going to be a problem for us. But we'll be okay. I'm right where we expected us to be at. You know what I'm saying? So, again, heading into the ACC tournament next week, there's going to be a lot of things popping off. And I think that it would take a little minor miracle for Syracuse to get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Because I just think right now we're not playing Syracuse basketball right now. You know what I mean? Not to take anything away from Boston College or Duke, you know what I mean, or Virginia. Not to take anything away from them, but I just think we're playing Syracuse basketball. And, you know what I mean, we got away with a lot of games this season. So, you know, it catches up to you, and it's caught up to us at this point. We lost 3 out of 4. And, again, you know, it might be a good sign. Or it might be a bad sign. But I think that we got the losses out the way. We see how we fare in the ACC tournament. And we'll just take it from there. And we'll rock out and see where we go in the big dance. So that's how we rock out with my Syracuse Orange. And right now, we're down to Georgia Tech by 4 in the second half. And we're the number 7 team in the country. I mean, you know, we're right around number 7. I give us number 7 because we're having a good season still. Wichita State, they're number 2. Florida's number 1, and you got to give it to Florida. Billy Donovan's doing it again. Florida's still always in the building when it comes to the NCAA tournament time. And it's almost time to fill out those brackets. I don't know about you, but I'm going for the $1 billion. You know what I mean? So rock with your boy, and after further review and all that, so we can fill out these brackets and see what's popping. And we might do a little something-something on the tournament tip over here after further review. If the powers that be at GQ Palace is down with that, we might do a little something for the tournament. So that's what it is, man, on the basketball note, man. Florida right now, they're leading South Carolina 36-28, second half of their ball game. So you got the, you know, a couple of the top 10 teams in the country playing tonight. Let me get my hockey thing out the way, man, because I always respect my hockey people and all that, but I think we're going to be getting busy tonight on some baseball talk, so I don't want to, you know, forget about my hockey people. Right now, man, Boston Bruins 2, Florida Panthers nothing. Florida just got Roberto Luongo in the trade from Vancouver, so he's bouncing around again. He's on the move again, so he's going to end up in Florida. Detroit Red Wings, New Jersey Devils tied at 1 in the second period. Columbus Blue Jackets 3, Dallas Stars nothing in the second period. Later on tonight, or just getting underway, Avalanche and the Blackhawks, Tampa Bay Lightning and St. Louis Blues, Pittsburgh Penguins and Nashville Predators, the Islanders and the Winnipeg Jets. At 9 o'clock start is Vancouver Canucks and the Phoenix Coyotes. 9:30 start is Ottawa Senators and the Edmonton Oilers, and at 10:30 you got Carolina Hurricanes and the San Jose Sharks. The trade deadline in the NHL is almost upon us. I think we got like a day or two left. The Buffalo Sabres, they traded Ryan Miller, their goalie. They traded him to St. Louis Blues. And Ryan Miller is one of the best goalies in the game. I just think that he's playing on a bad team. So now he's going from a bad team to a team that could possibly contend for the Stanley Cup. So we'll see what it is really with Ryan Miller. I'm a hockey dude, so you know what I mean? I like to talk about it or whatever. And I'm really just like learning the game. So how I got into learning the game was watching the playoffs. Those games, those overtime games that'll be on to like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. And those games are good. You know what I mean? And that's how I got into hockey. So now I want to understand a little bit more about it. And, you know, basically I can sit up there and hold my own in a hockey conversation. But that's how you get down as a sports supporter or a fanatic. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not a fanatic about any particular hockey team. I'll support the Rangers, you know what I mean? They won the Stanley Cup in 94 or whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm not really a big fanatic of the team, but I stay abreast on what's going on. So I support the Rangers, I support the Islanders, I support the Buffalo Sabres to a degree, you know what I mean? They're all New York teams or whatever, but I just want to be able to hold my own in the sports conversation when it pertains to hockey. But, yeah, we'll be all over the place, man, after further review. Get into a little spring training right quick, man. My Yankees doing their thing, you know. Tanaka looking real good. He pitched really, really well against the Phillies over the weekend. He did his numbers. You know, I just want to get into some things with the National League because I started the over-unders for the National League East, and I got a little flack about my pick, what I picked for the Washington Nationals or whatnot. But I think that they're going to have a good season. I don't want to talk about the preview because I'm going to get into the preview later on. But I think the Washington Nationals are going to have a good season. Their manager that they got right now, Matt Williams, is a no-nonsense type dude. You know what I mean? And, you know, the kid gloves are off on Steven Strasburg. That's their pitcher, their star pitcher. And Bryce Harper has to definitely have a better season than he had last year. I did the National League East Division over unders. I had the Atlanta Braves at 92.5. I had the Miami Marlins at 74. I had the New York Mets at 79. I had the Phillies at 82. And I had the Washington Nationals at 93. And I got flack for that. Oh, you think the Nationals are going to win the division? I didn't say that. I just said their over under is 93. You could think it's going to be over 93 or under 93. That's on you. But I think they do have a good team. The race is going to be close. I didn't even do the knowledge to what I posted until I'm looking at it now, and I see the Nationals at 93 and the Braves at 92.5. And I think that, you know, that race is going to be real, real, real close because the Braves have a good team as well. But, yeah, I'm going to get into the preview, man, later on. I just wanted to do the over-unders for the National League this week, and I'm going to do the over-unders for the American League next week. So that's what we're getting into. They did a couple of interleague games. Spring training games had the use of the replay. I just think the replay is a waste of time. I think the replay is a waste of time, but it created jobs for people, so you can't knock that. But I think to take, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, which seems like an eternity, to wait for a play that we already know the results of is basically a waste of time. So, you know, we'll see how they institute it. And as far as the new rule, as far as the catchers blocking the plate, it's looking kind of corny. It's looking real corny because they're, like, standing on the side, making sure he's out of the way of the player coming to score. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's allowing him to score. And I'm not liking how it's looking right now. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to allow him to score. I get you with the ball is not, if the catcher doesn't have the ball in his hand, he can't block the play. I get that part. I get it. But just how it looks, it just looks kind of suspect. You know what I mean? But that's just me, man. I observe things in a different way. I'm the mayor, baby, and you're not. So that's how it goes down. But, yeah, it's a little dry period in sports right now. Kind of like, you know, you got to kind of like dig and invent things to talk about in the conversation. Get on some NBA stuff right now. LeBron did his little 61 and all that. You got to salute that dude. You know what I mean? I think that the talk about him wanting to be the MVP is nothing wrong with that at all. And people, you know, seem like they're afraid to speak their mind and go for what they want. And if he thinks he could get that, then go for it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him, you know, making people aware and letting people know that he wants, you know, be the MVP again. And there's nothing wrong with that. Shout out to the Brooklyn Nets, man. They signed Jason Collins to a second 10-day contract. So more than likely, he'll probably end up playing out the rest of the season with the Brooklyn Nets or whatever. He's going to provide some length and, you know, in the front court and help them out. You know what I mean? He won't be a major factor, but, I mean, right now the Nets, you know, are a playoff-likely team, and they need another big body in the front court, and I think that Jason Collins can provide the ace familiar with how they do as far as Jason Kidd being the coach of the Brooklyn Nets and all that. My Knicks, what can you say about them? You know, because I could dish it out, and I could take it, and my team is just, you know, is just what I said they were. You know, I'm not one of those pie-in-the-sky dudes. Never was, never will be. I just call it like I see it. I just think that the Knicks really are in a tailspin right now. And I said earlier in the season, I didn't think that they was going to win 30 games. You know what I mean? And it's kind of looking like that. They're 21-40 right now. You know what I mean? They got 21 games left. You know, to win 30 games, they 9-12. Can the Knicks do that? Can the Knicks finish the season at 9-12 and at least win 30 games? This has been one of the most pitiful seasons that, you know, I've been around being a Knicks fan and, you know, been around in the Marvin Webster days and the Michael Ray Richardson days and, you know, when it was real bad around Madison Square Garden or whatever. But I just think this is just from a lack of effort. You know what I mean? You see that, you know, you see who's trying and who's not, you know, who's giving full effort and who's not. Who's really, you know, caring about, you know, what's happening, you know, to the team and who wants to be there and who's just out for self, you know. And again, like I said about J.R. Smith, I just rue the day that the Knicks, you know, turned around and gave this clown some money. And yeah, I said that he's a clown. Okay, I don't want him on my team. I don't think that he adds anything to the team except for the little couple of games where he might hit a three. He doesn't add anything of substance to the New York Knicks. And that's basically, you know, how I feel. It's been a couple of seasons now, and we're going through the same garbage with this dude. And I don't think that we need him around. And, you know, as far as Carmelo Anthony is concerned, if he signs, cool. If he don't, that's cool, too. You know what I mean? We just kind of, like, got to start from the bottom and kind of, like, be relevant again. We can't worry about, you know, getting a home court advantage or competing with the Miamis of the league and things of that nature. We got to be relevant again. And right now, we're a joke. We're a laughing stock of the league, and that's a shame. And how do you go from, you know, having, you know, the euphoria of some people saying that, you know, the Knicks won 54 games last year, they're on the cusp of greatness, and they're going to win a title. And come on, are you serious? Are you drunk, yo? Straight like that. You know what I mean? You're not even looking at it for what it is. You just see those W's and you're like, oh, we great and we're good. No, you're not great or good. So you have to kind of like deal with it as it is from a realistic point of view instead of putting the cart before the horse, because if you do that, you ain't gonna never get nowhere with that. And especially in a situation where it doesn't even look like it's gonna change for the better. And again, it starts at the top. I think the Knicks, Charles Dolan doesn't care about the Knicks, and if he did care about the Knicks, they would be going in a different direction right now. The ship is unsteady. Nobody knows what's going on. Everybody wants to pretend like they're in charge. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to, you know, we got a great team going on here. We can contend. Contend for what? Contend for what? You know, and I said 2 or 3 months ago, I said I wouldn't talk about the Knicks unless they were at 500. They're not going to be at 500 at all this season. They're not going to win 30 games. And that's a shame. You know, and what makes it worse is you got a team like the Charlotte Bobcats / Hornets. They're in the 7th spot right now. You got the Washington Wizards in the 5th spot. And I don't want to pat myself on the back or nothing, or, you know what I mean, or big myself up or nothing, but before the season started, and you could check the archives when we did the NBA preview, I told them, I said, watch the Toronto Raptors. I just like their team. They're young. Their energy is kind of infectious on that squad, and nobody's paying no attention to them. They're on the peripheral. They're on the outside. And look, Toronto Raptors is 3rd seed in the East right now. You know what I mean? So I like DeMar DeRozan. I like his game. I just said, watch the Toronto Raptors. And Kia laughed at me. You know what I mean? She's like, Toronto Raptors, what are you talking about? I say, yeah, you see. That's why I'm the mayor and you're not. So we get down like that, man. After further review, we're in the building. Can I get a hand clap? Because I want to, you know, salute yourself, Big Rich. Salute yourself, Miss Lavina. Salute the whole GQ Palace. You know what I mean? That's what it is. That's how it goes down. You know? We haven't had a powwow in a minute. I smell a powwow coming on. It's in the air. The aroma is in the air. I smell it. But it's going down, man. Salute to the Drama Starter DJs, man. You in the building, following the mayor, man, after further review and all that good stuff right there. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to call. Press 1 to get in on the conversation and come kick it with the mayor, man, live and direct on a Tuesday night. Yeah, I might as well talk about it for a hot second, man, you know what I mean? Because, you know, again, it's like a little dry period, so we're going to talk about anything that's going to bubble and percolate and get some conversation popping. What are the Saints going to do with Jimmy Graham? You know, he would be a real good look for my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jimmy Graham would be a real good look. He's a tight end for the New Orleans Saints, you know what I mean? And if not the best tight end or one of the best receivers, period, in the league. And, he would be a nice addition to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's all I'm saying. And if the Saints don't want to give him no money, the Glazers would be glad to, you know, give him a little dough and put him in them new uniforms. Those new uniforms, I'm not feeling them. I'm not feeling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers new uniforms. I mean, the helmet had to grow on me. You know what I mean? And all it is basically the regular logo, and it's just a little bit bigger on the helmet. That's all. And the face mask is made out of chrome. That's the fly part about it. We the only team in the league that got chrome face masks. But I don't know if that's going to help us win the Super Bowl, having a chrome face mask. You know what I'm saying? So that's nice, and that's all pretty and cosmetically nice and decent and all that. But I don't know if that's going to help us win the Super Bowl. And these uniforms that we got now, man, I'm like, I don't even know, man. I don't know. I don't know what they was going for, what kind of look they was going for. But it's different. You know what I'm saying? So it may be to grow on, you know what I mean? But if they're winning, who cares what they got on? You know, but I'm just not really, I don't know. The Hall of Fame game is August 3rd. It's going to be the New York Giants against the Buffalo Bills. So, got to be, you know, coincided with Michael Strahan getting elected to the Hall of Fame and all that. So, you know what I mean? That'd be a good look. The Giants and the Buffalo Bills on August 3rd, Hall of Fame game. Yeah, man, the NFL, man, you know, it's almost free agency period. You know what I mean? It's about 6 days to go till the free agency situation jumps in. Some teams got money, some teams don't. The Eagles, they let go of one of their veteran wide receivers, Jason Avant. You know what I mean? It's about that salary cap. You know, they deal with a salary cap situation. So every year you always have to, you know, maneuver around and move some things around and flip. And some people might have to let go because they make too much money. And, you know, it's a business first. So this is a part of the year where it gets kind of hard body sometimes for some teams in the NFL. But, yeah, man, as far as my Bucks are concerned, once again, man, I'm not really, really, really down with that uniform right there. Shout out to Arizona, the governor of Arizona, for signing that bill. You know what I mean? That wouldn't allow the certain businesses to cater to people of the gay persuasion. And so they are going to have the Super Bowl next year in Arizona, so that's a good look for them. And I mean, like, they didn't want to play themselves out. Arizona's going through enough trouble as it is, so they need to have something to shine some light on them. 646-200-3838 is the math to dial. You got the mayor in the building, man. Press 1 and get in on the conversation. Or if you just want to hang out and check it out, you right here with the mayor live and direct. Michigan 60, Illinois 39 in the second half. Michigan's one of those teams I think you might want to keep an eye on once it gets to tournament time. I think these conference tournaments are going to tell a lot about certain teams heading into the NCAA. You got a team like Wichita State that was in the Final Four last year, so they have experience. You got to watch them, you know, and to make a deep run, you know, and you don't really get used to a team like Wichita State winning it all, But it's going to be a year where one of these teams that's really from a not say lower seeded conference, from a lesser known conference, I'll say that, will win the championship, will win the whole thing. Because you had Butler that was in the tournament 2 years in a row. You had George Washington. You know what I'm saying? You had Wichita State last year. So one of these teams is going to get over the hump one of these years, and it just might be this year. And then the pressure will be on them because Wichita State is undefeated. So, you know, no knock on their conference, the Missouri Valley Conference. Now they're about to play their conference tournament. You know what I mean? And now they're about to go back into the NCAA tournament where I believe they possibly can make a deep run. But you have to watch a team that, you know, is getting hot right now, a team that's like Kansas. You know what I mean? They're getting back into the conversation, sneaking back in a little bit. Virginia that won the ACC regular season. You know what I mean? They've always been on the periphery, but now, you know, and people are noticing them because, you know, they might get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So right now, this is basically, it comes down to these tournaments that's coming up right now, these conference tournaments. Every conference plays their own tournament. So you have, like, the ACC, all the teams in the ACC, like North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, Syracuse, Miami, Clemson, they'll play in their own little tournament. You know what I mean? And whoever wins that tournament will get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So you know what I mean? So for some teams, the only way that they can get in to the NCAA tournament is by winning their conference tournament. So it's going to be a lot of drama going on starting next week. This is the time of year we used to look forward to the Big East tournament. You know what I mean? When you had, you know, Georgetown and Syracuse and St. John's and Boston College and Villanova, you know what I mean? And it was always drama, you know, and Pearl Washington would play up against Chris Mullin and Walter Berry and Bill Patrick Ewing and Michael Graham and Michael Jackson and David Wingate and Reggie Williams and, you know what I mean? And even the coaches, you know, John Thompson for Syracuse, Coach Connor Secker for St. John's, of course, Coach Boeheim, shout out to Coach Boeheim from Syracuse, you know what I mean? And it was just real, and Roddy Massimino from Villanova. So it was just real crazy, man. And you know, this is the time of year where it gets exciting. It's good, and they call it March Madness. They don't call it March Madness for nothing. So you got to watch your teams and see who's hot and see who's going to be where and see, you know, who's going to get what type of seed. Selection Sunday is 2 weeks away, and that's where the teams will find out where they're going or if they made the NCAA tournament. 68 teams in the tournament. There are four teams that kind of play in. They're not officially in the tournament, but they get the chance to play to get into the tournament, so their season will continue. We just count it down till we get to the finals, and that's early April, and it'll be at AT&T Stadium, Jerry's house. You know what I mean? The Final Four will be at Jerry's house, so it's going down. So that's what it is, man. Again, I think my Syracuse Orangemen, we got some things that we got to do. We're going to find out a lot about ourselves in the ACC tournament, you know. And depending on how we end up in the ACC tournament is going to depend our seed. If we want a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, we're going to have to win the ACC. And right now, I don't think that we can, you know, we're playing well enough to win the ACC. Because, you know, you got North Carolina and you got Duke, and North Carolina's playing good ball right now, and Duke, you know, beat Syracuse, and Virginia just beat Syracuse, and, you know, you got a lot of teams, Clemson playing good basketball, you know what I mean, in Boston College, you know, so you got a lot of teams that's in the ACC that's going to be gunning for Syracuse and things of that nature. So we have to really, really keep our heads about ourselves and just make sure we can get through the ACC and you know, injury-free and get into the big dance. And after that, all bets are off. We'll see what it is, you know. Touch on a little bit of boxing a little bit. Shout-out to Antonio Tarver. Thought he was supposed to be coming back, and, you know, now they're looking for him on a fugitive warrant in Florida. So you know what it is. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Couple fights coming up. Canelo Alvarez and Alfredo Angulo. You know, a pay-per-view fight. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think I'll wait to the replay on Showtime. You know what I'm saying? Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is fighting Marcus Maidana on May the 3rd in Las Vegas. I think, like I said last week, the closer it gets to that fight, the more that they're going to talk about it. Hearing talk about Adrian Broner and Amir Khan. If that fight comes off, that would be a good fight to put on the undercard. I think that they need a strong undercard to get people to watch this fight. I don't think that that fight is a pay-per-view worthy fight, if you ask me. It's a good fight, but I don't think it's a pay-per-view worthy fight. Not for what they're going to be asking you for Showtime. But that's just me. You know what I mean? I just think that, Mayweather is going to do what he has to do. But I think he's just going to have to really step his game up, because I don't think Marcus Maidana is going to be worrying about that. But we'll talk about that more as we get closer to the fight. You know the math already, so I'm going to run it past you one more time just in case you're a first-time listener or whatever. 646-200-3838 is the math to dial. You can press 1 to get in on the conversation, and we can rock out like that. Jump back on the baseball note, man, right now. I'm gonna a couple of scores pass you. Yankees and the Orioles, 2-1, bottom of the fifth. Blue Jays and the Phillies, 4-3, top of the seventh. Tampa Bay Rays over the Red Sox, 8-0. Pirates over the Tigers, 5-2. I know Ziggy likes that one. Atlanta Braves, 8. Washington Nationals, 4. Miami Marlins, 3. Minnesota Twins, 1. New York Mets, 6. Houston Astros, 2. Angels, 7. Texas Rangers, 4. Cleveland Indians, 5. Chicago White Sox, 4. Royals, 9. Reds, 5. Oakland A's, 6. Milwaukee Brewers, 4. Chicago Cubs, 6. Oakland A's, 4. They had a split squad. Seattle Mariners, 4. Dodgers, 1. Arizona, 8. Padres, 6. So, it's spring training right now. They're basically playing practice games to see what's what. The Yankees looking like the Yankees, doing what they got to do right now. I'm liking how we looking. You know what I mean? Playing decent ball right now. Jeter's looking good. You know what I mean? He's moving around like he's not worried about his ankle. And we're just going to get ready for the season and see what we can do. I still think that we might need one more arm, and I don't know, me and Hollywood, we always have the conversation about that, and shout out to Hollywood. I just think that we need one more arm, because we're going to have to compete all season long, and again, we have to worry about injuries, somebody's going to get hurt during the season, so we're going to have that, in reserve, somebody that we can count on, man. Well, maybe we can go pick up somebody, as the season progresses, but I just see a lot of good things for the Yankees. And hopefully that, we can contend and, playoff spots to be had. They added an extra one, so now we really don't have an excuse about making the playoffs or nothing like that. But we did the over and unders for the National League, so kind of keep it on the National League East. The team to beat in the National League East is a toss-up between, either you like Atlanta or you like Washington. Atlanta's always been the team that's kind of like ruled. They run the National League East, for the last 10, 15 years. They run the National League East. And Washington's a team on the come up, And I think that this might be the year where, they have to kind of like show and prove a little bit. They've been, not, I won't say babysitting, but they've been kind of like, keeping a close eye on Steven Strasburg. So now it's just like 4th year in the league, so he can basically now, do what he has to do, throw when he needs to throw, and help them, to possibly win a championship. Bryce Harper, he's another youngster that's going to be great one of these days, and I think that last year was just a year where it's kind of like, you're mortal, You can have an off year like everybody else. So now he has to get back on his grind. And I think the manager that they have, Matt Williams, is perfect for them. He's got a no-nonsense type dude. He's an ex-player. Championship player. Remember him when he was on the Cleveland Indians with Manny Ramirez and Jim Tomei and all that. And then he was with the San Francisco Giants. So they definitely have a guy in charge that's going to, show them how to win, because he's definitely a winner. So it would be, crucial for them to heed the advice that he's going to give. And Washington has a strong pitching staff. Gio Gonzalez, they just got Doug Fister from Detroit. So Washington is going to be you know, battling it out with Atlanta for the National League East Division. The Mets, as far as the Mets are concerned, the Mets could have a good team, or the Mets could be in last place. You know what I'm saying? The injury, Matt Harvey's going to be out for the year. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's going to be out for the year. But the Mets did pick up Bartolo Colon. So he won 18 games last year. He was coming off of his situation with the steroids. But he's back, and hopefully, you know, he'll get a fresh start here, you know, playing for the Mets or whatever. And the Mets got Curtis Granderson, David Wright playing third base. I think, you know, they could, you know, win, you know, a bunch of games, or they could lose a bunch of games. The Mets are going to be the Mets. But, you know, I don't see them doing anything this year. Maybe, you know, a couple years down the line, because they really have some pitchers stockpile. They have arms stockpile. The Mets are not playing when it comes to those arms. So maybe a couple years down the line, we might be talking about the Mets making some noise. But right now, it's, they're not ready. And you got the Phillies, you know, and the Miami Marlins. The Phillies, another one of those teams that, you know, kind of like, you know, breaking their team up a little bit. You know what I mean? They got Ryan Howard still around and Chase Utley still around. But they have new energy in up front with Ryan Sandberg, their manager. So maybe, you know, he'll bring some, you know, bring some energy and some, definitely some fundamentals to the Braves. They're young players. They have a young couple of players that need to step up, Darren Ruff and Dominic Brown. So if those guys stepped up, they'll definitely, you know, be able to, you know, be a spoiler at the least. The pitching that they have, Roy Halladay, they have Cliff Lee. Yeah, I think Roy Halladay retired. So they got Cliff Lee. They got Cole Hamels. You know, so I don't think their pitching is deep enough to handle what's going to go down in the National League. But, you know, give them a couple of years, they'll definitely be in the building as well. And then you got the Miami Marlins. What do you say about the Miami Marlins? They're a young team. They have a couple of the best players in the league, Giancarlo Stanton and Jose Fernandez, the pitcher. But they're young, you know, and what do you say? You know, hopefully they don't lose 100 games. That's the bell. Thanks for ringing it loud in my ear. I appreciate that. GQ Palace in the building. You got the mayor in the house. First call in the building, man, at 8:37 p.m. We got my man, Mr. Hollywood, in the building. Welcome to the bigger show. What's going on, my dude? What's
going on, brother? How you feeling?
Everything's curry, man. Everything's cooked and curry, you know what I'm saying? We're just trying to get over this hump, man, this little dry period we got in sports right now, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, trying to, you know, come up with some conversation to set it off and keep things rocking. So what's good with you?
Not much. Getting ready for playoffs this weekend with my NYC Jayhawks. Both our 1,600 teams are in the playoffs, so we'll be in the Bronx one game Saturday at 11, and we'll be at Polo Ground Saturday at 12.
That's what it is.
Just running around, man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Your Knicks, bro. Oh, man. I got. When are they? What are they torturing Woodson? Are they torturing him?
I mean, you know, you ride to see the wheels fall off till they say, until you get that knock on your door and say, well, your services are no longer required. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so man.
What can he do, man? He's just a dude that has to field all the questions after the game. You know what I mean? And as a Knicks fan, I'm never going to give up. But you know what, though? I ran into a couple of people, and they're like those pie-in-the-sky Knicks fans. If you don't say nothing positive, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, why you hate? I'm not hate. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
The Knicks are garbage. The Knicks been garbage. You know what I mean? So you tell me. You know what I mean? I put money on the spot. I was like, yo, you tell me what the Knicks could do to turn this franchise around.
Well,
I don't know.
So
if you don't know, then beat it. Get out of my face. What are you talking about? Oh, you're hating on the Knicks. I'm not hating. I'm telling the truth. We can't have that negative thinking. It's the truth. I'm like, the Knicks are just garbage right now, man. The Knicks been garbage, and it starts at the top, and they're not going to change until they get rid of that ownership. That's
Dolan.
All there is to it.
Dolan.
Yeah.
Dolan. He's the biggest problem. He's a disaster.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about bringing Van Gundy back. It doesn't matter who they bring back. If the owner's not going to be committed to win it.
Gundy ain't gonna be out there playing. They gotta bring some players back, yo.
And do
you
think
what I'm saying?
And do you think Van Gundy wants to get involved with this circus?
No,
man?
I wouldn't blame him if he just tell him to get for what? It's just gonna be the next in another line of people that tried. And what are you doing if you don't have a product to put on the floor? Then what are you doing? You could bring Pat Riley, Red Holtzman, Lenny Wilkins. You can bring all of them to coach the Knicks, and will nothing change because the product on the floor will still be suspect.
Yeah, because they had the great Larry Brown, the coaching.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And they had, like, so and what did it? What did he do? They had Larry Brown. They had Ubi Brown. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, what if the product on the floor is not competitive? Then what you gonna do, my dude? You know what I'm saying?
The question there was, what can Brown do for you? Nothing, as long as Dolan's the owner.
I've always said that, man. As long as he's the owner, and nothing's gonna change. And that's the same, because the Knicks need to be, you know, New York City, man. The Knicks, you know, the NBA office is in New York City. So how can you have your top franchise, and we just came from this when we got Patrick Ewing. We just came from the, you know what I'm saying? We was down in the dumps, and we right back down in the dumps.
Worse this time.
Got no chip. I don't know, man. I don't know.
You have
know
one person on the team you could trade.
Because
right
we had Marvin Webster. And Michael Ray Richardson I just can't stand the losing, man. I don't want to say I'm used to it, because then that's a defeatist attitude. But man, listen, I don't know what to tell you about the Knicks, man.
Well, here's something out there. You know, all these professional sports, the commissioners and executives and stuff, they're always evaluating every little thing. When does a commissioner say, you know what, for 3 straight years, you've been horrible, you have to sell your team? I'm just joking on that one. But something to that effect, like, if you can't manage your team, we're going to step in and help you until you get the ship, you know, righted. Something has to be done.
Then what do you do? He's going to do the same thing for the Milwaukee Bucks?
You have to do it for everything.
I just think that you put yourself in that hole, you're going to have to eventually get yourself out of it. And like you said, it's the management. If you mismanage your team, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
The Knicks are not coming out of this hole anytime, so I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'll be there when they do come out that hole, man. That's just how it is, man. I'm a Knicks fan all day. You know what I mean? I take the slings and arrows, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, they put it on themselves. We've been in the promised land, but we just didn't get a chance to get over that hump.
Man.
That's all. You know what I mean? Some teams didn't even get a chance to make the playoffs, so don't tell me nothing. You know what I'm saying? And when the Knicks are good, the NBA is just – NBA, everything is
league.
Lovely.
It's a different league.
Yep. When the Knicks are good, come on, yo.
And let me tell you something, too. Let me tell you something. I don't care what Brooklyn does. They're not the Knicks. They're not the Knicks. Even though they're here in Brooklyn now, bigger market than being out in New Jersey. You know, it's the Knicks franchise. The Nets can win a title this year. I mean, they'll be hot, but they won't be the Knicks.
The Nets ain't going to win no title this year. You know what? The Nets will win the title. They are the champion of signing gay basketball players. They are the champion of that. I give them that much. But as far as winning the NBA championship, they dead on that, yo. They're dead on. They might make it to the second round. Because look, the East is watered down. Once you get past the second round, you got bump heads with either Indiana or Miami. Then what?
Well, they're doing better than the Knicks, I'll tell you that.
And not for nothing, I was watching that. Well, they was playing the Knicks. I was watching the Chicago Bulls, man. They was playing the Knicks, man. It was like 16-1.
Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, bro.
I was like,
23-4.
I was like, ew. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this is what it's come down to, yo. They're not even competitive. They're not putting a competitive team on the floor. You can look at the body language and all of that, man. It's not being competitive right now. But let's talk about something brighter, man. Brighter topic, man. Let's talk about the New York Yankees, man. And Masahiro Tanaka. for Tanaka Blast in the building. You know what I'm saying? Tanaka.
Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa.
That's what it is, man.
Man, I'm loving this right now. Listen, I am loving what I'm seeing from the Yankees right now. They look spirited. They look excited. They look happy to be on that field again playing baseball. You can just feel the new positive attitude going on in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be on and popping, man. It's gonna be on and popping. You know what I mean? And it's just now I'm thinking about it, man. I was looking at the lineups, man, and that Yankees lineup is off the hook. If we get what we're supposed to get out of everybody, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine to sell? I mean, second base is gonna be. We just gonna have to overlook that.
I don't think so.
We're going to have to overlook that, man, because Brian Roberts is fragile, yo. Brian Roberts is fragile. And Kelly Johnson now, we have to worry about. He's going to have to play third. So then you got
that,
Jeter.
Yeah.
So our whole infield, Teixeira's coming off an injury. Brian Roberts is coming off an injury. Derek Jeter's coming off an injury. You know what I mean? And Kelly Johnson is just, you know, that dude. So our outfield, Beltran, Ellsbury, and Brett Gardner is, you know, what it is. And Brian McCann, he's going to have to hit. Brian McCann is going to have to hit. And I think he will. I think Brian McCann might hit 25 home runs.
I think more than that.
It's gravy, but I think he's going to hit 25 home runs.
The over, under, I'm going with the over. I'm definitely going with the over of 25 with him. I'm telling you, I think he's going to have a big power year this year.
I hope so. We got another caller on the line. Hold that thought. GQ Palace, man, after further review, man, we got Key in the building. What's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
Good evening.
What's up, lady?
Nothing. How's everybody?
Everybody's okay. We're just trying to get through this little, you know, dry spell that we got. What's on your mind?
It is definitely a dry spell.
Yes, it's nothing. I mean, you know, it's right after the Super Bowl or whatever, you know what I mean? Baseball's not popping yet. NCAA tournament, nobody's really catching on into that yet. Hockey, you know what that is, you know what I'm saying? Golf and tennis, who's paying attention to that? You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's nothing really, really that's grasping people's attention. But you have the NCAA tournament popping off in a couple of weeks or whatever. So and by that time, baseball will be getting ready to pop off because they start early this year. So, you know. So I mean, we right here. Oh, did you see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers new uniforms?
No, I haven't.
That's all right. That's all right. Take your time. You'll get around to it one of these days. But take
Please.
Your time. You are not missing nothing. I'm telling you, I don't know what they was thinking about. So I don't know that.
I heard they got a hint of orange in there. Is that true?
They got exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's a hint.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hint of orange, and they got these digital numbers like the. Mm-hmm. Man, it looks kind of crazy, but that's my team, and you know, I ride with them.
You got to step up with it, so hey.
Hey, but they ain't no worse than those bumblebee joints. That's what they should have. They should have my Buccaneers playing with their new uniforms against the Steelers and their bumblebee joints.
Bumblebee joints, that's too cold.
Woo!
So watch yourself with those bumblebee jokes.
We just getting started.
Red lightning is insane right now. You know, I don't
we just getting
no
started.
Red
that's
lightning.
What it is. So what's going on? I know you want to talk about Syracuse Orangemen.
I don't want to talk about that.
You want to talk about Syracuse?
You know what I want to talk about?
What you want to talk about?
These fans that get upset and whine because you call their player a bum.
Okay.
You can call them I'm just sitting here how you can just, I'm like, well, Okay. And it could be like five passages all because someone don't like their player.
So you're saying somebody feels some kind of way because you call their favorite player a bum?
I mean, it depends on
how you look at it.
If you have
the proof to, you know, call him a bum, I'll call LeBron a bum too. I have called him a bum. Yes. Yes.
I've called him a bum.
Sure have. So what?
I'm like, well, oh my
you know
God, what
I'm
kidding me?
That's, I mean, you know, go ahead.
They preach every day about people calling, and it's like, I've come to the realization there's a lot of bipolar people in sports and that no sports. It's a lot of bipolar
And that ties into the topic. We talked about it before on the show. Are you a supporter or are you a fan? You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, fan, and there's a different levels. There's levels to this. You know what I'm saying? And if you're a supporter of the team, then, you know, you might know a little bit. If you are a fan of the team, you might know a little bit more than a supporter. You might know the starting players. You might know, how many years so-and-so been in the league or who's the coach or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you're a fanatic, you got them on.
You know everything.
You know what I'm saying?
When I say sports fans, you know, you may know hockey. You may know a little bit. You may know some names on hockey. I'm not a big fan of hockey. I mean, I watch hockey. I look at hockey. I mean, if you say names, oh, yeah, he played for the St. Louis. Oh, yeah, he played.
Right.
I can say that, whatever. But no, I would not say, well, what, you know, where he came out, what draft. No, I would not look at hockey. Baseball, yeah, I can say, oh, yeah, he played at college ball. Oh, he didn't go. He came up. That, you know, because I know I can dip. But you got one-minded bipolar fans. And I call them one minor, one subject, bipolar.
Right, because that's all they can talk about. Yeah,
that's right.
But you know what? Okay. I've learned to kind of like, you know, deal with them with a, you know, long handled spoon, man.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I love to make them cry and whine.
And you know,
they,
you know, and it's just like, you know, it's kind of a situation where if you like sports, you like sports or whatever. And if you like a certain sport more than another, you say that. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? You're just not going to really put yourself in a conversation or a situation where you don't know what you're talking about or you come up short. So, like, if a person will say, well, I like college basketball, I say, okay, who's your team? They'll say, well, I like Marquette. Oh, yeah, well, you know, they was in the tournament a couple of years ago, you know, when they had, you know, and their coach Williams, you know what I mean, and they had Clay Fareed, and, oh, well, I don't know about it. Well, then what do we do?
Then you don't know about no college
what
basketball.
You know what I mean? Now you got me all open.
Oh, no,
we want to have a conversation, and now you lost. We're talking about your team now. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about your team. And you don't know nothing about your team.
Marquette is not his team.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you know, who is your team? Let's talk about it. But, I mean, you know, there's certain levels to it. You know what I mean? But some people put themselves in a situation where they really can't hang out. And then when it gets exposed, they want to get mad. But that's on them.
And then
you know what I'm saying?
You know
that's
what?
That.
It's nothing wrong with learning as you
right.
go.
That's
and
right. That's right.
Because I love to listen to guys talk sports and listen to sports. But don't come and try to tell me because you're a 70s or 60, you know all of us, because that's going to defeat the purpose of me listening to you, because there is more people out there to learn sports from than. And I love to sit here and make guys whine and cry. It's just an enjoyment.
She said whine and cry.
Whine and climb, because you know what? All at the end of the day, they are females.
Yes.
Females.
That's a conversation for the Deanne Lane show or the KL Belvin show. You know what I'm saying? But you know, if you can't take the heat, then
don't get
you know,
it. That's right.
Then don't put your foot in that doo doo because it goes down. And it's like. You feel passionate about because you know what you're talking about. You and you support your stuff with what you've seen or with facts or whatever. And when people say these outrageous things, it just makes you like why are you even trying to test me right now? You know what I'm saying? So I mean, and then when it happens after they lose, now you don't see them no more. You don't hear from them no more. And that's cool. I know your limitations. That's all I'm saying to you. Know your limits. Because there's levels to this. That's all.
But you're not going to, you know, there's going to be people that may know more. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing
wrong with that. If you don't know this, and maybe he knows. But, you know, I love to sit and hear God, you know, especially certain things about baseball or, you know, certain games back in so-and-so, who scored, you know. it's fine, but don't sit here and try to tell me, well, you, see, that's what you're going to get wrong. Because I'm going to let you know, I am, you know, I have no problem, you know. But I love to listen to people talk sports that know sports.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the conversation, if you know what you're talking about, the conversation flows. If you don't know what you're talking about, then it stops and it staggers and, you know what I mean? So you might not have the same, you know, you might not agree, but still, you could still have a conversation and not be, and not like, you know, you like the Steelers, I like Tampa Bay. We could have a conversation all day and our teams can't stand each other. But we could still have a conversation about, you know what I mean, about a football conversation. So that's all that is, you know?
I have no problem having a conversation.
Yeah,
all.
You know what I'm saying?
I cannot stand the rappers. I can't stand them with the I can't stand them. So I have no problem having a conversation with the football, and especially when I don't, well, you know, a football season. You know, I love all sports, and, you know, football is my favorite.
Right.
And then all the other sports. So I can, you know, shoot a little bit and, you know, and then what if I don't know? Of course, you know, sometimes I, you know, I'll ask you or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But don't come at me the wrong way, because I am not sensitive. I have no problem.
I hear that. That moment was sponsored by Dot Drama Starter DJs. Yo, Rock a Lot, what up, man? That moment with Kia right there was sponsored by the Drama Starter DJs. They do their thing, man. Check them out.
That was a whole monologue here.
Yes,
it was sponsored by
once again the Drama Starter DJs in the building, man. Tiki Palace Radio. Oh. After further review, man, it goes down Tuesdays.
I did my pre-March Madness top five.
Let's get it popping right now. We got you.
Let me go try to find my list.
Now she got to go try to find it. Okay, she set us up, man. She took us to Hollywood.
So wait a minute.
She brought
us
to the water, and then didn't let us drink.
No, but what I was gonna say regarding that was this. She just preached for 10 minutes about, you know, talking to non-sports people. But she did not memorize her top five teams.
Hey, man, you know, that's Kia for you, my dude.
Excuse me, can I share my top five?
Yes. Whenever you ready. We got till 10 o'clock. Whenever you ready.
You know, let's go ahead and talk about something else so I get ready. You know.
Look at this. Too bad we don't have no commercials. Too bad we don't do. Well, anyway, in Hollywood, man.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, you my favorite.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. So you ready? Thank you. I don't know if that was for me, but thank you anyway.
The key is
so
called.
So you ready, Kia?
No, because I didn't,
Oh, we gonna get us a boo noise now. We got the hand clapping in the chair. Now we gotta get us one to have somebody booing, because Kia's not, you messing up right now, yo.
We
try to wait for you.
Me.
Yeah, so Hollywood, man, you see your boy Curtis Granderson hit 2 home runs today, right?
Really? No, I didn't.
Yeah, he hit 2 home runs today. Okay, that was the introduction of the boo sound. So you know what it is. We love you when we love you, and when you mess up, we got something for you. Shout out to the sound effect crew, Miss Levine, I'm holding it down. Thank you very much. We're gonna put that noise to use. We might have some Jeopardy music for Kia, because he's messing up right now, but it's all good.
Oh,
the Granderson hit 2 home runs today, man.
I gotta ask you a question. Who can do it?
Huh?
Who can do it?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
The Grandy man can. Come on, you gotta.
I'm not
come
worried
on
about
out.
What he. Man, listen, he ain't doing nothing for me now. Hey, what the hell are you doing? He ain't doing nothing for me right. Hey, can we get the boo? Can we get the boo play one more time for that? That where did that come from? Can we get we booing everything Curtis Granderson do? Boo. Everything associated with we're booing it. Get out. out of here. We ain't messing with Curtis Granderson. Hey, yo, he dissed us, Hollywood.
We could have had him.
That the best fans in New York are Mets fans.
But listen, we could have signed him if only we could have signed him if only we'd have gave him $8.8 million more dollars.
He strike out too much.
You hear that?
Curtis Granderson strikes out too much. And last year was kind of, you know, a bad luck season for him, man. He got hit in the hand twice. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And who would you rather have, Ellsbury or Granderson?
Granderson.
Oh, come on, yo.
Yep.
Ah, Hollywood, you're killing me right now. He's playing for the Mets. He's not even playing in center field. He played in left field.
Listen.
Ellsbury's about to make us do some things, man. Ellsbury's gonna have us popping.
Also.
7 years. Ellsbury's gonna have us popping, man. I'm telling you, man. He led the league in stolen bases last year. He had 52 stolen bases. He'll be all right. He'll get on base. He's a catalyst, man. He'll do his numbers, man. And the thing I like about our lineup, yo, Hollywood, man, we got speed in our lineup, fam.
Yeah, a lot of it.
We
a
got
lot
speed
of it.
In our lineup, man. You know what I'm saying? We was looking
Top
for speed
bottom.
Before.
Top to bottom. Top
yeah,
to
we
bottom.
Got speed in our lineup. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we incorporate that, you know what I mean? And you know, we could do some things, man.
I think Jeter's going to have a big year. I just feel like he's going to have a big year for some reason.
What's a big year?
308.
Starting an all-star game?
Yep, of course. No doubt.
Okay, right. You can put that in Magic Marker right now, right?
He could be hitting 190. He's starting that game.
Yeah, he's going to start an all-star game. Yeah.
Yeah, he's starting that game. Yeah, I mean, you have to be on some other kind of drug if you're not putting him in the start.
Yeah,
there's no question about that.
Right, he's going to be like that Cal Ripken, whatever. Uh-huh.
Yeah, between 305 and 310. I say 308.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that.
You ready for this?
How many games?
140.
Ooh, that's a lot. All right, but if he plays 140 games, then we'll be all right. If he's healthy for 140 games, that's a lot of games.
I'll say 17 home runs,
mm-hmm.
85 RBIs.
17, 85, and you said like 310.
I would be very happy
with that from Derek Jeter.
And you know what else he's gonna do this year? I'm gonna tell you what he's gonna do this year. He's gonna go try to steal a lot of bases this year. I'm telling you. It's gonna be one of those caught off guard moments.
103 games.
Huh? What game?
Aren't you looking for something?
I am looking for
this. Look at this. All right. So what would you say, Hollywood?
Y'all too much.
You said Jeter going to steal a lot of bases.
I think he's going to steal a lot of bases.
How many bases do you think Derek Jeter going to steal, man?
25.
That sounds like a number that
can
be reached.
I think he'll steal
30. That sounds like a number that can be reached.
And I'm going to tell you why I say that.
Tell me why you say that, bro.
Jeter's probably going to hit second in this lineup, correct?
Probably, yeah, most likely.
Now, when Ellsbury gets on base, right, he'll steal his fair share of bases, of course. Jeter's going to be, I could see like one of those double steals, like a first, like, you know, a first or second, the second and third thing. I think that's where he's going to get a lot of his steals at. Ellsbury
well,
might get
gonna,
on
I mean,
the third.
So you got Ellsbury lead off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeter hitting second. Who you got batting third?
That's a good question.
Delton.
I want to say Teixeira.
Teixeira? Okay. So, who's it in fourth?
That's a better question. Who I would go with, honestly, I would go with Beltran.
All right. So, who's it in fifth?
McCain.
Okay. Who's hitting sixth?
Depends.
If Nunez is
playing third base,
Where's Soriano?
I would put six. I'll put him six. I'll put Soriano six.
All right. So
I'll actually flip flopping. Right. Let me flip flopping. I'll put Soriano fifth, and I'll put McCain six.
Okay.
Six.
All right. So with your lineup, you got, if Ellsbury get on, then Jeter, right? Mm-hmm. Jeter's going to see a lot of pitches because Teixeira's going to be up next.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So then they can't pitch too carefully to Teixeira because Beltran is up next.
That could be a problem.
You know what I'm saying? And Beltran's a switch hitter, so I like him in the fourth hole. I like him in the fourth spot. He's a switch hitter. I like that. But like you said, that's what I was trying to get you to, you know what I mean? Like, who's next? Because Jeter's going to see good pitches because they don't want to face Teixeira.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, Teixeira's got to start off hot, yo. Because you know he don't start off too
brutal,
well.
Brutal, April. Brutal.
He has a history of not starting well at all. You know what I mean? And if everybody hits in this lineup, Hollywood, can you imagine, son? If everybody hits in this lineup, from Ellsbury to Jeter to Mark Teixeira, Beltran, McCann, Soriano, oh, man. Then we got Gardner at the bottom of the lineup.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, you know.
I like Nunez better in the lineup. I like him better
Nunez,
in the lineup.
But Nunez got hands of stone like Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
If Nunez had a nicer glove, we could stick Nunez at third base.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying earlier. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We have some kind. And Jay, you know something, too, going on to the rotation. You know, the Yankees have some decisions to make because, you know, I'm looking, and I watched. I'm going to tell you something. Carota is our best pitcher. I'm not going to. I think Carota's our best pitcher. I'm going to say that on the record.
You see Tanaka pitch the other day, man?
Of course I did.
Okay, so I don't know, man. I okay.
Listen, right. This guy Carota went. He was supposed to throw 35 pitches. He threw 17 in two innings. 11 were for strikes. He had to go to the bullpen and do more work.
Okay.
The only thing I think the Yankees need to do with Carota, if you ask me, is I think they need to give him an extra day a couple times during the season.
Well, I think they'll have four starters, man. But yeah, I think that Carota's going to have to be an important cog, man, because, you know, again, you know, the top of the rotation for the Yankees, man, still going to be, you know, nobody wants to see CC Sabathia, Carota, Tanaka, you know what I mean? But what about the bottom of that rotation, man? Well, we got Pineda, we got to worry about Ivan Nova, you know what I'm saying? And the pitcher is going to have to definitely hold up. Definitely, because those lineups in the American League is no joke, man. I'm looking at these lineups, man. I'm looking at all these lineups in the American League, yo. From the Red Sox on to the Mariners to the Cleveland Indians to the Tigers to the Kansas City Royals. Everybody got a lineup, man. Everybody's got a lineup. And then you notice that,
okay,
you know,
I found my list.
That's nice. But you notice... you notice that the Yankees is, you know, can be beat. So on that note, I'm going to hold my thought, and I'm going to let Kia bring it
back.
Well,
hold on a minute. Well, what I was bringing up about the rotation was Tanaka and Carota are pretty much like the same pitcher. I mean, Tanaka has, you know, maybe three more pitches more than Carota. I don't think.
So how is Carota the best pitcher in the Yankees if Tanaka got more pitches than him?
More experience.
You just said more pitches.
More pitches does not mean more experience for me. So, I mean, if we're basing it on the pitches, then you would say then Tanaka's better. Mm-hmm. But if I want to go on experience and who I would give the ball to right now in Game 7, based on what I've seen, and Tanaka hasn't proven anything to anyone yet here.
Right. Go ahead. Okay. I got you. I followed you.
Corona. But
okay. I follow you. And you know what? I wouldn't diss that. I wouldn't disrespect that. I would be like, okay. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, Carota is that's a no-brainer for you. And I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that based off what you've seen and how he's pitched for the Yankees. And, hey, you know, I can't be mad at you.
Well,
I would put Carota up against anybody.
Well, do you, if you're the manager of the New York
Yankees, right?
Do you have Carota and Tanaka pitch back-to-back days?
No.
Definitely not. Me neither. But now here's the question. So where does Tanaka – okay, give me – if the season started right now, give me your order rotation-wise right now.
So we start in Houston –
that we go to Toronto, I would have CC Sabathia, then I would have Corona, then I would have Nova, then I would have Tanaka for maybe the first two times around the rotation. That would be the rotation. I would go four starters for the first couple of times around the rotation. That's how I would do it. That's just me.
Well, here's my rotation: Corona, CeCe, Tanaka, Nova, Pineda.
So why would you go with five starters this early in the season?
I'm just talking about overall.
Okay. So you said you have Tanaka pitch number one? Corona pitch number one?
Yes.
Okay, I see that. Righty, lefty, righty. I see you.
Yeah, and plus you want to separate. You don't want people to get used to the same style.
Yeah.
Because if you get used to it one night, if you didn't get used to it one night, let's say you get to the ninth inning of the first game with Corona pitching, he's still in the game. Now you're beginning to see what's going on with him. Now the next night you bring Tanaka out, he might get hammered.
Yeah,
so, it's got to be like a little day in between before seeing that same kind of style.
Right.
So that's my argument, because I heard that question asked. And I just wanted to know, what would be your thoughts on that. But
yeah, I think you would want to go, righty, lefty, righty. That would be the natural thing to do, and to break them up would be a good thing to do. You know what I mean? That's
mm-hmm.
like you said. And, want the batters to get comfortable and, basically know what's coming, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, I just basically worry more about the end of our rotation, man.
I wouldn't worry about it. I really wouldn't. I gotta see, baby.
I gotta see what it is.
You're
man.
Talking about
if,
four
if
and
I,
five.
I'm talking about Nova. I'm talking about Phelps. I'm talking about Pineda. I gotta see them dudes. If I got confidence in them, and if our four and five is giving me confidence, my dude, then we got the one of the nicest rotations in the American League.
But this is what I'm going to tell you: that those four and five starters that we have. And I'm just going by my four and five that I will pick, which will be Nova and Pineda. You talking about guys that could be number two, number three starters on anybody else's rotation, to be honest?
No, come on. First of all, you haven't seen Pineda pitch in 3 years.
Pineda's the
so
truth.
You don't know what
you're
going to get for Pineda. And Nova, I don't see Nova as being nobody's number two. Well, he might be a number two in Florida. I mean, Miami. He might be a number two in San Diego somewhere. But I don't see him being like a number two in anybody's rotation. Ah, come on, Hollywood.
I guess.
You know what I'm saying? Like a number two. So he's better than let's say who you gonna take the spot away? Verlander or Scherzer? You know what I'm saying? I would throw
on
that at you
teams,
like that.
On certain teams. Now you know he wouldn't be okay. Who's the number three on the Tigers?
The number three starter on the Tigers, they got rid of Fister.
Fister, yeah.
Number three on the Tigers.
What's his name?
Annabelle Sanchez.
Please, I put Nova over him.
But he's number three. You said Nova number two. You said the top
two
starters.
I said a number two or three on certain teams.
You got to take out either Verlander or Scherzer.
On certain teams. They would be a number two or number three starter.
Okay, now you take
Detroit,
it. Okay, okay. All right.
Now, Detroit,
I got you.
And Pineda would be a number three on there, too.
Tell me a team besides a San Diego or not even the Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got two starters better than Nova. Pittsburgh, and they got rid of A.J. Burnett. Garrett Cole and the dude Jeff Locke. I would put them over Ivan Nova. Then no disrespect. But I'm just saying, a number three starter, I'll buy that. I'll buy that one, Hollywood. I'll buy number three. I'll buy that. But number two, I ain't seen enough of Nova, man.
I'll put Nova number two on Toronto.
I'll put him
number two on Minnesota.
Minnesota got there. I put him number two on Minnesota, too. They got Philip Hughes. They got Ricky Nolasco. So, yeah, I mean, Nova could be a two or three on Minnesota. So, and who else? So who else would you? You know what I mean? Because Texas,
I'm giving you a couple teams already.
They got you, Darvish. They got Holland. So I mean, just try to pick a team where you would put Yvonne Nova as a number two starter. Even Seattle Mariners.
I put him number two in Seattle. I put him number two in Seattle.
So who are you gonna pick out? Phyllis Hernandez or Eva Mura? Who are you gonna take out?
Eva Kuma.
Ah,
I put him over
Eva
Kuma.
Come on, man.
I put him over Eva Kuma. I will put him over you,
man.
Oh, bro, I'll put him over you.
You telling me that Yvonne Nova is better than Iwamura?
I think so.
Oh, we're about to bring the boo thing
no,
back
no,
out,
no.
man. We're
no.
about to bring the boo thing back out. Come on, son. Come on, Ollie. Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Even Iwamura is out right now with the, and you don't get no conversation like this nowhere else. Just after further review, if you didn't know that you listened to After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio. But anyway, yo, Iwamura, even with the finger, his finger is all messed up, so he's gonna miss a couple of starts or whatever. Iwamura is way better than Yvonne Nova, man.
Oh, did you hear your boy, the new assistant general manager for the Seattle Mariners?
I don't care about the Seattle Mariners.
No, Mr. Robinson Cano. Did you hear him the other day?
No, I don't care about the Seattle Mariners.
He says
all I know is that when he comes to the stadium on April 29th, it's going to be on and popping. That's all I know.
He says, we could use another hitter and another pitcher.
We said that a long time ago.
The joke on that was, yeah, you could have got another hitter. Take $100 million off your contract
and give it to somebody else that really need it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When they first got Robinson Cano, Hollywood, we sat here on After Further Review and we said that what else are they going to get? They're going to have to get a lot more than Robinson Cano. They don't have nothing. Okay, so yeah, for him to say that, yeah, man, they're going to have to do some more. And I don't know what they're going to do. Because Nelson Cruz went to the Orioles.
Yeah, he was complaining about that. He was like, well, we could have used a Nelson Cruz. He said we could have used the Ubaldo Jimenez and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, if you really wanted these people like that so much, then, I mean, rework your contract. Do something.
But, man, they went into all of that trying to sign Robinson Cano, man, knowing that, you know, their team, they needed to have a team, man. You know what I'm saying? And then they got to pay Felix Hernandez. You know what I mean? Then they got to pay Iwamura. You know what I mean? So I just don't know what the Seattle Mariners was thinking about. And they had a plan. They just wanted to make a big splash. And I'm not mad at that. But what you going to put around Robinson Cano?
Yeah.
Is Robinson Cano going to be your second baseman for the next 10 years? I don't think so.
I think he's going to be 3 years and out.
Mm.
I think it's going to be something like an A-Rod situation with
mm-hmm.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
When he forces
mm-hmm.
his way out.
I'm not seeing nothing in Seattle that scares me, you know. They got Logan Morrison in right field. They got Michael Saunders in center field. He didn't even want to come back to Seattle. They got Dustin Ackley. They had to move him to left field because Robinson Cano took his spot. You know what I mean? So, I mean, in the infield, come on, yo. You know what I mean? And your boy, Montero, he's not even the DH. Corey Hart is the DH, the dude they got from Milwaukee.
And he's 40 pounds overweight, too, by the way.
So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't see nothing going on in Seattle, man. And, he took the money and he ran. So more power to him. That's all I can say to that, man.
Well, God bless him because he's going to hate Seattle in a couple of years.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that'll be, you know, a lesson learned, man. You know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, go for what you know, man. Stick to some familiar things, man.
You think he's watching all those moves we made after we didn't sign him and saying himself,
well, I mean,
man,
you
I should have stayed.
Hindsight is always 20/20 or whatever. But I don't think that, you know, maybe, you know, again, it was some things that we didn't know about, we're not privy to or whatever, that he didn't feel comfortable going back and he didn't think that he wanted to, you know, be around in that atmosphere. He maybe wanted to make his own path, you know what I mean? He wanted to be the leader. You know what I mean? He was tired of sitting, you know, watching, you know, Jeter and, you know, talk about Jeter and A-Rod and CeCe and Teixeira and all that. And he wanted to, you know, carve his niche, and now he could do it in Seattle. More power to Robinson Cano, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, And it doesn't even hurt. That's the crazy part. It don't, you know, usually with somebody that was on the Yankees, you know, that you kind of get attached to or whatever, they leave, you like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Robinson Cano's gone. Okay. Oh, well. That's life. Let's keep it moving. You know? Let's keep it moving. But,
yeah, man.
I feel like, you know, we did the over and unders today, man, for the National League East. And I just think that the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals are going to really battle it out this year. The Braves, they lost Tim Hudson, man, to the Giants, and he looked good in his first appearance for the Giants coming off the broken ankle. But, you know, the Braves are, you know, putting money out in the street too, man. They gave Freddie Freeman a bunch of money. They gave Craig Kimbrell a bunch of money. And they just signed the shortstop, Andrelton Simmons, for the next 7 years. So the Braves are gonna be in the building, man. But the Washington Nationals, man, I think you know they got Pfister from Detroit to be in the back of their rotation. Matt Williams is not gonna take no job from these young dudes. You know they gonna have to show and prove. Steven Strasburg, the lease is off of him. They can't coddle him no more. And Bryce Harper just has to play up to his expectations, man. You know what I mean? They put him out to be this great superstar dude, and, you know, last year he kind of fell off. So we're going to see what it is, man. And the Mets and the Marlins and the Phillies are just, you know, playing for third place. But, yeah, man. I gave you my
pick earlier.
Yeah. So what about
– you...
Go ahead, Kia. Go ahead. Get your five in. We didn't forget about
you. I'll post my pick. I haven't even done those yet, because
I'm not doing my division and World Series picks till like later on, probably towards the end of the week or whatever. But yeah, so Kia, you got your five
NCAA powers.
Yes. Can you start from five to one? Can you start with number five?
Well, I'm gonna start with how I had them. I had them like the Midwest. Well, I got to come out the Midwest. I just did top five, one to five.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Who did that five?
Yeah, because it was a Geico commercial on TV.
Oh, whatever.
Right.
Okay, one to five. This is who's coming out the Midwest. That is how I have. You said start from five to one. North Carolina, Louisville, Iowa State, Wisconsin, and Wichita. Then
Louisville,
Iowa State, Wisconsin, and Wichita State.
Okay.
Okay, and then coming out the East.
What the?
You're
going to end up with 20 teams out here.
I just did 1 through 5 for all of them just for a conference. Would you pay attention and listen?
You were bored, huh, Kia?
Yes, you had to be, yo.
East, I had 1 through 5. Okay, got number five. I got Connecticut, San Diego State, Michigan, Syracuse, and Kansas. Okay, now I'm going to the West. 1 through 5. St. Louis, Oklahoma, Virginia, Villanova, and Arizona. And then out the South, 1 through 5. Michigan State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Duke, and Florida.
Okay. All right. I got a couple of questions, but you got any questions first before we get started? You heard of records. I wrote them down.
Midwest here?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Do you have anything for the Midwest?
No, I was just playing with this one right here. Like,
no,
okay.
You don't understand. That's a new division I just made up. I just want to know who was your problem in that division.
Kia, let me ask you a question right quick. No SMU.
Well, I didn't do the rest of the. I just did the top five.
No, okay. No. Okay. All right.
They're going to be in there. I mean, I haven't done.
Arizona, Virginia. Why Oklahoma?
I think they deserve that seat. I think Oklahoma deserved to be in the West. I think they should come out of 4th seed. I think they should get the 4th seed at that division.
And you still on Wisconsin, I see.
Yeah.
And Iowa. Iowa State, right?
Iowa State.
Okay, Louisville. All right, so I just got, you know, I mean, I like the, that's 20 teams right there. I like it, you know what I mean? But the only question that I would have from the door, looking at them, and I wrote them all down, and but the only question I would have at the door, looking at all the teams that you got, is Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? I would say,
yeah.
You know, I would say like about, I would say, well, Michigan, you know what I mean? I would, you know, I would throw Michigan in the mix, or maybe even a New Mexico. You know what I mean? But I like them though. I like your picks. I like your picks. You know
I
what I'm saying?
I think the first five. Yeah,
you didn't get no
Kentucky.
You didn't have Kentucky in there though.
I don't have Kentucky in there.
Yeah, from Kentucky.
I think Kentucky's gonna be like a six or seven. Kentucky's gonna be like a 6 or 7 seed.
Okay. All right. No doubt. So, all right. Let me ask you this now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put you on the spit out of your first bracket that you had with North Carolina, Louisville, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Wichita State. Who's coming out of that bracket?
Wichita State.
Okay. Who's coming out of the bracket with Connecticut, San Diego State, and was Michigan, Syracuse, and Kansas?
Kansas.
Lord. All right. What about the bracket with Oklahoma, Virginia, Villanova, Arizona, St. Louis?
I was thinking on that one because Arizona is wounded because they're wounded. And that one is tough. I'm going to still go with Arizona even though they're wounded. They're wounded big time.
Okay, Arizona. And you got here Michigan State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Duke, and Florida.
You know, like, that one was tough, too, because of Duke of Florida and Creighton. Duke of Florida and Creighton.
We're going to have to get the Jeopardy music popping in a minute.
All right, I'm going to go, too.
I'll have to introduce you to my cousin, Tone.
Oh, please.
Yep, we're going to cue up the boo for Kia. Hold up, wait a minute. If we cranking it up. Miss Lavina is back there getting ready to press the button. She's about to press the button on you. We got a new sound effect, so we're gonna introduce you to the new sound effect. You better hurry up.
I already said it. What are you talking about?
What you said? I didn't hear what you said. I was laughing at myself.
I said Duke.
Ew, Duke sucks. That's because they beat Syracuse. So you got Duke, Kansas, Wichita State, and Arizona.
And I may change Duke at a later time. So.
Yeah, I figured that. Now you're sounding like Stephen A. Smith now.
No,
you may
I'm
change
just
him
saying,
at a later time.
I may go with Frank.
All right.
I mean, you know.
I got you.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
Yes,
can
sir.
Can I get your esteemed opinion on this, sir? You got North Carolina, Louisville, Iowa State, Wisconsin, and Wichita State. Who comes out of that?
As good as North Carolina is playing, I'm sorry, I have to say Wichita State.
Okay, that's 2 votes for Wichita State. Okay, now we got Connecticut, San Diego State, Michigan, Syracuse, and Kansas.
Kansas, Jayhawks.
Okay, got you. Now we got St. Louis, Oklahoma, Virginia, Villanova, and Arizona.
Say that again, St. Louis, Virginia.
St. Louis, Oklahoma, Virginia, Villanova, and Arizona.
Arizona.
Got you. Now we got Michigan State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Duke, and Florida.
Wow. Well, I know a game will be the hottest game in the world. That'll be that Michigan State and Florida game. Wow. Florida.
All right.
Michigan State.
Gotcha. All right. And that first bracket right there with North Carolina, Louisville, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Wichita State.
You know what? I would hate to see Wichita State lose, but they're going to end up losing how I see it. So I'm going to take North Carolina for the simple fact that they're playing hot and Marcus Paige is playing out of his mind right now. Shout out to Slate, North Carolina fans and all of that. The next bracket with Connecticut, San Diego State, Michigan, Syracuse, and Kansas. We could beat Connecticut. Should we beat San Diego State? I think so. I think we could beat Michigan. And can we beat Kansas? That would be a good game, Syracuse and Kansas. Yeah, I'm a Syracuse dude, so I'm going to take Syracuse, yo.
Where's the boo thing at?
Huh?
Where's the boo thing? The boo sound?
They don't play the boo for me, man. I'm the mayor, man.
Boo.
They don't play the boo for me. St. Louis, Oklahoma, Virginia, Villanova, and Arizona. Like Kia said, Arizona's right now, they hobbled right now. You know what? I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to take Virginia just because they bumped off Syracuse. Shout out to Virginia for winning the ACC regular season. I would take Virginia. And then the final bracket, you got Michigan State, Cincinnati, Creighton, Duke, Florida. Doug McDermott playing out of his mind right now, but Billy Donovan got Florida ready. Michigan State, that would be the best, that would be like the best out of those groups right there. Look at Mick Cronin. You know what I mean? Krzyzewski. Wow. Coming out of that one, I just can't. I don't have the in me to pick Duke. I'm going to say Florida. Because they have a tendency and they're always in a situation. And I remember them, a few years back when they had Joakim Noah and a couple of other guys. They went back to back. So you got to respect that, and Billy Donovan always has them, prepared, yo, and ready to do their thing, man. It's 9:30, man. You're listening to After Further Review, man, on a Tuesday night, March 4th. The NCAA tournament is going to be popping off in a couple of weeks. We're going to help you fill out your bracket because we're going for the $1 billion. I can't tell you everything I know. I can just tell you what I know. And hope that, you can, make some on your own decisions or whatever. But I'm keeping my bracket close to the vest, baby, because I'm trying to get that $1 billion, man. So we all rock out, man. We all cool and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to these NCAA picks, man, it's not for joke, man. I'm trying to get that billion, man. I still holler at you and all that. I still do my shows, but that'll probably be from like a remote island somewhere. You know what I mean? Sipping out of coconuts and stuff like that. A brother can dream, right? You know what I mean? Shout out to the Drama Star, the DJs, man, for sponsoring After Further Review tonight, man. It goes down hard body karate. Shout out to the other owners, man, and the other hosts, man, of the GQ Palace shows, man. It goes down. You know how we do it, man. We keep you locked, man, every day, all week, man. Tuesday night, man, After Further Review, live and direct. Anything you want to get into, man? You know what I mean? Give y'all a chance to, speak your mind. What you got to talk about, Kia? Anything special you want to, talk about?
I'm just ready for March Madness to begin.
You ready for March Madness to begin. Okay. All right. That's what it is. That's what it is. No update. No Laker update, right? You say you off of that, right?
I'm on strike.
She's on strike. You hear, Hollywood, you hear that, right?
No comment.
She said that she's on strike. You're a Lakers fan too, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh man. So what is your what's your opinion on where the Lakers are right now?
A disaster. But we're better than the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is, man. I would rather be a Laker fan than a Knicks fan right now. But it is what it is. That's just life, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have something to look forward to. It's just one of them seasons, man, where everybody can't win every season, man. But I just don't know what to say about the Knicks, man.
The bad part about the Lakers is that usually when we have a year not as bad as this. I mean, this is bad. But usually when we have a bad year, off year, there's a free agent that we end up getting that ends up making our team a lot better for years to come. There's no free agent like that this year. And this
Carmelo Anthony.
There's no free agent this year.
What about Carmelo Anthony?
Who, Carmelo?
Yeah.
Staying in New York. Staying in New York. He's not going anywhere. He cannot afford to leave. He can't afford.
So, all right. So, my thing is, so why are you waiting to sign your extension if you're going to stay, then sign the extension?
You said this. You said after further review, the biggest show is sponsored by the Drama Who?
Drama Starter DJs, man.
Hey,
I'm not for that, man. That's game playing, man. You know what I mean? If you're going to be here, man. You know what I mean? So we don't have that to worry about. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell
you
what.
Mean?
If he wasn't a free agent and waiting this long, then all the full attention would be on how bad the Knicks really are with him signing his contract. So this is playing out to give something to take away from the Knicks' terrible season. I'm just saying. I hear you.
But I just think that this is me. If you're going to be down with me, you down with me. You know what I mean? There ain't no one foot out the door, and I'm afraid that I'm going to play, you know, it's a business move or whatever. Do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? That's why I can't get hyped when you score 62 points and you only doing what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You score 62 points, so what? You going to be scoring 62 points in Miami or L.A. next year? Answer me that. That's all.
Well, no, he won't be in number.
You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at with it. No offense to Carmelo, man. It's just that if you down with me, he down with me, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up with that. So, yeah, we got to do some things, man, as far as the Knicks are concerned, man. But, again, like I said, and I'm always in a full belief that it starts from the top, man. Charles Dolan don't really care about the Knicks. You know what I mean? And he just run the Knicks to the ground. And, you know, from way from before when Isaiah Thomas and, you know, we couldn't even turn Patrick Ewing into a ring. You know what I mean? We got him in 85 because we was down in the dumps before he came. You know what I'm saying? And now we go right back down that same road with no ring or nothing to show for it. So, you know, it just hurts to be a Knicks fan and watch this just play out, man, because I'm not used to this, man.
And
another
sad part about that story is that even with the Knicks as bad as they are, you know, there's a possibility of them having a good lottery pick this year. But unfortunately, if I'm not mistaken, it goes to Denver.
Yeah. So, you know, we can't even win when we're losing. You know what I'm saying? So we just, you know, we make everybody else better. And it's been like that for a few seasons right now. And it just, you know, it's just not, you know, and it's not really, you know, it's always going to be smart and wise to be a Knicks fan, but I guess it's not cool to be a Knicks fan right now. And that's the thing that's going to bug me out. When the Knicks get good, everybody's going to be a Knicks fan all of a sudden. And it's going to give me so much pleasure to tell them to get the hell out of here. Because, you know, you was laughing at us. You was making jokes. And I'll eat all of that because I'm a Knicks fan. And that's the difference between being a fan and a supporter, because that was going to be like what the topic of tonight, you know what I'm saying? You're a supporter, you know, you don't want to be bothered with them when they lose it. Only time you want to see them is when they're winning and when everybody's cheering for them and when it's the popular thing to do. But when you're suffering through a 10-game losing streak and losing games at the buzzer and you're suffering with your team and, you know, you're trying to find a game on the radio when they're out of town, you know what I mean? That type of stuff. What you say, Kia?
It's going to get interesting by Tom with all the decisions you're making. And, you know, I got a feeling that he's going to stay in New York.
I hope he does. I hope he does. And I hope the team gets better around him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they get better around him. This demise of the Knicks, I don't blame fully on Melo. It's just...
No. At least he's trying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, again... And you know what, though, Kia? I look at it like this. I look at it from both sides of the fence. He's doing his numbers, no doubt about it. I give it to him 100%. But this is a contract year, right? It's a walk year. So he's got to do his numbers.
He's
a walk year. He's got to do it. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
And I know Mr. Hollywood is like, oh, yeah,
I don't
man, it's bugging. Come on. I mean, it's a walk here. You got to do your numbers.
You know
what? You got to put yourself out there.
You know who I just
attractive.
You know who I just can't watch anymore on the Knicks? I every time I just see him, I just it hurts my stomach.
Who,
J.R.
Smith?
No. Tyson Chandler. I can't watch
him. Tyson Chandler is just,
he's a bum. I think he's gone.
Tyson Chandler got a ring, though. So Tyson Chandler's not a bum. Tyson Chandler got a ring.
Tyson Chandler's team got a ring.
Huh?
Tyson Chandler's old team.
And Tyson Chandler was on the team. They got a ring. So Tyson Chandler got a ring. But Tyson Chandler is a bum, though. Tyson Chandler is a bum.
He's garbage. He's garbage. He's always
making things. The whole team is garbage. The whole team.
No, I don't think the whole team.
The whole
team
is garbage.
I think
Hardaway. You can't name me
five
dudes. You can't name me five dudes you go to the fire with on that team. You ain't even got a team.
I know one dude I'll take with me. I'll take Hardaway Jr. with me. I'll
and
take him.
That's one. And Carmelo and who else?
I'll take Sotomayor.
No.
Come on, yo.
Guys,
he's
man.
You know what? Then we're going to give you the boo noise.
You know what's going to happen with Sotomayor. You already know what's going to happen.
Sotomayor's broken down.
They're going to trade him sometime next year before the start of the season, something like that. Because
he should retire. So we can get some of that money back.
Gonna go on another team and watch. Just watch. You'll see.
And do
you'll
what?
See. You'll see. You'll see.
Do what?
You'll see.
Stoudemire was halfway decent. We wouldn't have to worry about Tyson Chandler. If Stoudemire was halfway decent.
I think, if my personal opinion, he's getting paid, he's under contract, I'm playing him. I'm not holding him back. There's no restrictions. I'm letting him go. Woodson held them back a lot this year, man. I'm letting them go. I'm letting them go, bro.
I hear you. And so what you gonna get in return for him?
No, I mean when I say letting him go, I'm letting him play. I'm letting him play.
No, well. And so if he's a bum, why you letting him play?
I'm talking about Stoudemire.
Stoudemire's a bum.
Stoudemire's not a bum.
Stoudemire's a bum. Stoudemire's broken down, son. Stoudemire's broken down. Come on, yo.
Stoudemire.
They better be glad they're not going to make the playoffs. Because where's Stoudemire be when the playoffs start? Where's Amari Stoudemire when the playoffs start for the Knicks?
Punch your fire extinguishers.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know what I mean? So I can't even count on these dudes. So Stoudemire's kind of like... Ooh, he's kind of, okay, we ain't got to worry about the playoffs. We ain't going there. You don't never be there in the first place. So I can't, it's a whole lot of things going on with the Knicks, man, that I don't understand. But that's still my team, you know what I'm saying? And we just have to, really, 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 go into a think tank or something and try to figure out what is going to happen and what can happen. And people mad and people don't like what they're saying, and I'm one of them, you know what I mean? So what do we do? What do we do as far as the Knicks are concerned? They're not
Dolan
relevant. They're a joke.
You try to convince Dolan to sell the franchise.
Yeah.
He's not giving up that.
No, you crazy? now you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You got an owner that, is just, just there, basically, you know what I mean? And collected cable subscriptions and tickets at the door and $1,800 for courtside seats and all that, you know what I mean? And not putting a good product on the floor. But, the garden is full every night, you know what I'm saying? And the message that they can send as fans, is to not show up, man. So, But the diehard, everybody wants to be seen at the Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. And then it's not even about, the Knicks. It's about who's coming to play the Knicks. They want to see LeBron. You know what I mean? They want to see Kevin Durant. They're not interested in the Knicks. They want to see who the Knicks are playing.
Let me tell you something. You got to miss the old days when Michael Jordan used to come to the Garden. He was booed heavily. That was a time... When the Knicks was relevant. And, now LeBron James gets the ball and scores basket, make a great move. I mean, the crowd is up cheering. I mean, that was unheard of back in the early 90s, late 80s. Unheard of.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were Boo Jordan in them, and he was still killer Nixon. You know what I mean? But you're right. Now they cheering for the, you know, for Kobe Bryant and scoring and LeBron James and Steph Curry and man.
Yes, that.
I don't know what happened to my Knicks, man. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just don't think that you know, it's any gonna be any good days ahead anytime soon. But we just gotta ride it out.
You know what happened to the Knicks, man? They sold to the devil when they hired Isaiah Thomas. Oh, who by the way might be taking over as the Detroit Pistons general manager, which will be
he get to run them in the ground.
Man. This guy everywhere he goes.
Air went out the balloon when Pat Riley left, man. When Pat Riley left the building, that's when it was. That's when everything went downhill. You know,
not to
Pat
me.
Riley
I think
left.
When Van Gundy left.
Van Gundy was. Who would you rather have, Van Gundy or Pat Riley? Man, Van Gundy was there when Pat Riley was there. Van Gundy was a assistant. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Van Gundy knew what was going on. He was familiar. There was familiarity, and plus, we were still good. You know what I mean? We just had bad luck in the playoffs, yo, with Charles Smith. Patrick Ewing, come on now. You gonna make me start, you know, you gonna make me get emotional talking about them days, yo. We was there, B.
I know.
We was right there.
You know, I started making the Knicks my second team only because I met Patrick Ewing a couple times.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went through the pain, too, with the Knicks, with the Reggie Miller thing, man. The Reggie Miller thing killed me. Charles Smith with his rebound and Patrick Ewing. Yeah, I'll take you down memory lane, bro. Patrick Ewing with his finger roll when he should have dunked on any other time, any other given night. That would have been
any
one of the most
any other time he should have booked
dunks.
It, yo. Any other time. And then what killed me with Patrick Ewing is that the back page of the Daily News all the time is he wants the ball. Give me the ball. You get the ball. What do you do with it when you get it? You don't do nothing with it. So why do you keep wanting the ball? Then I'm like, we won, and the city was going crazy, you know what I mean? We did what we did, but, you know, we made a lot of boneheaded mistakes, man.
So out of those four things, so I'm gonna ask you, and then maybe Kid might want to answer too. So I'm going to just give you the questions. Tell me which one you think was the worst one. Okay, you got John Starks, 2-for-18.
Uh-huh.
You got the Reggie Miller play there. Was the whole situation with Spike Lee. I go back to the 8 points in 20 seconds. You have the Charles Smith missing the putbacks. Or you have the Patrick Ewing with the finger roll. Which one was the worst for you? Put it in order. 1 to 4.
The Patrick Ewing finger roll was the worst.
Wow.
Patrick Ewing finger roll was the worst. The Reggie Miller was in 8.8 seconds or something like that. That was I take that because he pushed off. He pushed off. So I that one didn't bother me too much or whatever. We played ourselves in that situation. And what was the other one?
It was two more.
It was Charles 2-for-18. I can't do nothing about that. Pat Riley, man. He had Blackman sitting on the bench and, you know, Derek Harper, so he did that to himself. And what was the last one you said now?
Rebound Smith up again.
Oh,
no.
The one with Charles Smith? That bothered me for a long time, yo, because Charles Smith is a personal dude of mine, man. You
know I actually
know
him too as well.
You know, shout out to Harden High School and all that. You know what I mean? But, that one kind of that hurt my feelings more than made me mad. Because I'm like, oh, what are you doing? He kept going, back up, block my Grant, block my Jordan, block my Grant. Like, what are you doing, yo? And, that one stuck with me for a long time, so I was mad at Charles Smith. And he was never the same after that, yo.
No.
Because Charles Smith was nice, yo.
He was.
He was
with the Clippers.
Yeah,
yes,
Charles Smith was nice. You know what I'm saying? Because he went to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But but when he blew those layups, man. Oh man.
Marv Albert was classic. Marv Albert was classic with the call. Rebound Smith up again. No. Up again. No. Rebound Smith. No. Up again. Rejected. I was dead, bro. out of New York.
Man, yo, like, I'm at the TV. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, yo? He kept putting it back up. Oh, what's going on? But the one with Patrick Ewing, that was the worst. That, because, like, what do you, like, that, cause that would make you forget about Charles Smith, because Patrick Ewing had the season in his hand. He had the whole entire season in his hand. And what is Patrick Ewing known for? Patrick Ewing wasn't doing no finger rolls at Georgetown.
Nope.
Patrick Ewing wasn't doing no finger rolls in the Olympics.
He was
Patrick Ewing was, he was buffing it on people. So why would you, in game seven, why, my dude, why?
Because he was having flashbacks of when he had stood on top of the table with his hand out.
Oh, man, but you got to make the shot first. Then you stand on the table with your hand out. Make the shot first, son. Learn how to roll the weed first. Oh, I'm sorry. I had a belly flashback. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. I had a belly flashback, y'all. Don't get it twisted. What's good? Hey, we got George in the building. George, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show, man.
Yeah,
going down.
I know you don't have much time, what's your topic tonight?
we was talking about the difference between being a supporter and a fan.
Oh, wow.
You know, some, you know, with different people, you know, they might like a team to a certain degree or whatever, but then you have a fan that, you know, they try to make it to a couple of games twice, you know, two or three times a year. You know, they know the starting lineups. They kind of like know the back history of the team or whatever.
Gotcha.
And when it comes to defending their team, you know, they know how to defend their team.
Right. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess I say I'm both.
Okay.
Yeah, especially with the Knicks, it hurts. I've been there from the Ed Sherrod days, probably before y'all were born. That was horrible.
Right.
Hey, yeah. George, we was talking about the worst moments in the playoffs that made your heart stop. We had the Charles Smith moment, we had the Reggie Miller moment, we had the Starks moment, and we had the infamous finger roll by Mr. Patrick Ewing that Mr. May over here is going to lose his mind.
I'm still mad at that one, yo.
That was horrible, man. That, to me, the worst two of those for me were the Patrick Ewing. It hurt my heart.
Oh, man.
And the Stark one was bad because in that game, I don't know if you remember, in that game, people talk about they should have brought Blackman in or Davidson. But in that game, Harper was having a good shooting game.
Yep.
Harper didn't shoot the ball enough. He didn't take that many shots, and he was hot. I kind of blame Harper too for being too passive because he was like 6-for-8 or 7-for-10.
But they let John start shoot because they figured he was end up hitting him, you know, get hot. But after 2-for-14, you should have got the message.
Well, especially when Harper was hot. Harper was having a good shooting game that game.
But Hubert Davis was having a great series too. If you look back at that too, Hubert Davis to me should have been inside in that game.
Well, you know what? The funny thing before that, Stark was having a good series, but that game he just was off.
Yeah, you know? he wanted it too bad, man. And you know what I mean? And it just got away from us, man. But it's all good. But yeah, man. I mean, you know, having conversations with other fans or whatever as a supporter, they would probably be like, well, you know, why is that important? Because it's important because we're fans and we can talk about it.
Well,
if you're a supporter,
right. And that was a shot they had. I mean, that was a window.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We don't even talk about. We don't even talk about '99. We still talk about '94 because they had the OJ situation that was going on. You know what I mean? And we was in the finals, and it was just an exciting time for New York. The Rangers was in the finals. New York was just popping.
Oh, you know what's bad, too? You know what was a bad time, too? This is the one that was really
And the Yankees, you should have went to the World Series in 94.
Right.
Don't get me started on that one.
But bro, check this out. Remember the year? This was Houston's first year with the team. They finally got it together. They were rolling. They rolled past Charlotte in the playoffs. Remember that? Because they killed Charlotte. And remember, they were winning, and then the P.J. Brown, Charlie...
They got that. They had the incident, right?
Yeah.
The whole series.
Right.
That team, that they were rolling. They had it all together, and they had to play that game in the Garden with only half the team, and then Harley went crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we stub our toe a lot, man, but, you know, I just rather at least us, you know, be competitive, man, and put a squad out there that we can believe in and we can stand behind and get behind as Knicks fans, man, you know what I mean? You know, because now you got to kind of like, you got the
the group of Knicks fans that, like, they don't want to hear nothing negative. And, I mean, it's the truth. It might not be what you want to hear, but it's the truth. I'm not. You're not going to put no blinders in, on me and say, okay, the Knicks are going to win. Then we got 21 games left in the season. We're going to go 21-0. And that's not going
to
happen.
Hey, man, yeah. I mean, I went to the first two home games this year, right?
And I
think I said on the season ticket, I did not like what I saw. Something just didn't look right. I already told you that too, Brian. And
yeah.
I posted it, and someone said, oh, you're panicking. I said, no, I've been around long enough. Something did not look right. It bothered
right.
me. It just did not look right. And,
right.
I mean, I didn't think it would be this bad.
Right, no doubt.
But
no doubt.
It didn't look right. It just, something was off. It was just really off. I mean, and, you know, I mean, I thought Barrett Garner would play better. But you know what? The whole thing is just off. I mean, the pieces don't really fit, and it got worse.
Mm. Well, I was.
And it's not Melo's fault either, because he's playing hard, but he can't do it. By himself.
Mm. Well, I was messed up at the beginning of the year, George. I remember I spoke to you. I forgot who it was who had predicted on ESPN that the Knicks wouldn't even win 35 games. I was like, are they crazy?
Well, remember I told you that?
You told me.
George said
he's going to agree with that statement. And I couldn't understand why. And this is before the season started. But somebody must have knew something that I didn't know.
Well, you know what it is, too? I'm going to tell you about it. Like, Chandler... like 2 years ago played great. Since that, he hasn't been like Hibbert outplayed him last year. Didn't expect that in the playoffs. And Chandler hasn't played that good this year. I mean, and then if he's not playing good, the defense sucks.
Right.
And they
miss
Martin. Believe it or not, Quiet just kept. They missed Martin too. Cause remember last
Kenny
year
Martin?
I heard K-Martin played really well for them defensively.
No doubt. Listen, you listen to After Further Review. We got a couple minutes left in the show. We right now at the point of the show, man, where we just go around the table or whatever with everybody do their little shout-outs and say what they got to say before we get out of here for another week. George, man, this is your first time calling the show, right?
No, I called last week.
Oh, okay. We're going to let you set it off, man. You got anything to say before we get out of here?
No. I'm good.
Okay, thank you for calling, my dude. Hang out. Okay. Hollywood, man, before we get out of here, man, what you got to say?
I just want to give a shout-out to After Further Review and everybody who are listening out there. And hold your heads up, all fans. The drought will be over, and the real sports will be back soon.
Yeah. You know what it is. Kia, before we get out of here, you got anything to say?
I don't have nothing to say after that one.
He just said it all, right? That's what it is. Hollywood said everything
I love
that
you,
needed
Kia.
To be said. That's what it is. Listen, man, another week went by. We're getting closer to the NCAA tournament. Like Hollywood said, man, we got a little dry period right now. Nothing's really, really popping off. We just sports fans, y'all. We just digging up anything to talk about with sports, man. shout out to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not really feeling the uniforms. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sorry. I'm not really feeling the digital numbers on the uniforms. I'm not really with that. But that's my team. I love you to death. Rock out, Buck Nation all day. Shout out to my man Hollywood. Shout out to Kia for calling in. Shout out to my man George, man. I hope you rock out with us, man. After Further Review, man, we do it to your mind, man, every Tuesday night, man, 8 to 10, man. You got the mayor in the building. You know the mathematics, man, 646-200-3838. You press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. The AFR War Room is going down tonight, man. Shout out once again, man, to the show sponsors for the evening, DJ Rock-A-Lot and the Drama Starter DJs. Much respect, enough respect due. Shout out to the big homie Rich behind the boards, man. Miss Lavina holding it down. You know what it is, man. The other GQ Palace host. You got the mayor on a Tuesday night, man. We talked about a lot of things, man. We wanted to know, are you a supporter or a fan? How hard body do you go down for your team? We talked a little basketball, NCAA, NBA style. We talked a little spring training, talked about the Yankees. Went around the National League East a little bit. Talked about my Buccaneers and their new uniforms. Garbage. We talked about the lull in sports right now. But we're just in a time and space where things are getting started. Things are just ending. So we just got to ride this out. We call it the dry period. We talked a little hockey. Got you the scores in and all that. Shout out to my golf people. I got you next week. Shout out to my tennis people. I got you. Shout out to my NASCAR people. You know what I mean? And most of all, shout out to the listeners, man. We see you too. You know what I mean? After Further Review, it goes down every Tuesday night. Next Tuesday, we'll be here in the same spot, holding it down, doing what we do. Hopefully, we'll have some more exciting stuff to talk about.
Yo, this is the man, yo.
And,
yeah,
bro. Uh-huh. You need,
yo,
you need a lot
you
of
next
help,
week.
Bro.
GQ Palace all day, baby. Peace.
Hey, y'all, this is Half Pipe. And after further review, I'm checking out DeMayo on GQ Palace Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on approach. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This the verbal version of the replay, the recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view, after further review, you know what to do.